Well, it was Monday night, and the Colosseum was swarming, teeming with the crowd. The weather, after the mildest and driest winter I've experienced since arriving here, was unseasonably cold. It had been raining, but there was hope in the gathering. The folks pre-fellowshipped in the soggy and waterlogged parking lot. It was complete with lively hip-hop music and a packed dance floor. The air was filled with the incense of plenty of tasty, meaty grilled treats. And they practiced their own version of spirituality, games of catch, father to daughter or son, friend tossing to friend and back. Nobody seemed to be worried about the cars, but me, I guess. Next, the throngs began the processional to their seats, costumed in authentic replicas of the hero's garb, someone else's name emblazoned proudly on their back. Gathered together now, prayers soon were answered. The rain stopped almost magically. The clouds parted as if divinely ordered. Streaks of sun shone out as we all stood to sing together. Just a short while after the scheduled start time, the pageantry of the opening day began with scores of introductions, banner waving from the people. I guess those towels that they give out might be a plume to plumes or pennants or banners. And the historic hometown icon threw out the first pitch. We were all there, all of us, in every age, every class, and ethnic diversity. We were spread out through the stadium, my daughter with her friends seated three sections away, only saw her one time, mostly just through text messages. Star King parishioners only seen in the food lines by my husband. Our old season ticket pals returning for another year's devotion. We hadn't seen them since last fall. And lots of people who were in it simply for the yearly excitement of this high holy day called opening day. Two more days would pass, and the crowd would sharply shoot down to the post-holiday faithful. And all religious language today, yes, intended. A recent article in the Washington Post asks, is religion losing ground to sports? Well, duh, I guess. You don't really have to read the article, but something to do, something to help me write my sermon. Recent statistics make it clear that sports devotion is on the increase, while religious institutions are experiencing a serious decline. Not here today. Is it because I'm talking about sports? I don't know. A 2012 Pew report noted that 2 out of 3 Americans are under the impression that religion is losing influence in the country. Well, for sports, just the opposite. 50 years ago, just 3 in 10 Americans considered themselves sports fans. By 2012, the proportion was 6 in 10 in 2012. Now, listen to this. 30 million people watched the most popular National Football League games last fall. I suppose some of those were the big name games, maybe the Thanksgiving games. And nearly 3 million watched the National Basketball Association's Christmas Day games. On Christmas Day, 3 million people were watching basketball. Marge, weren't you watching basketball on Christmas Day?
Never watched basketball.
Bill, so lest we think I'm preaching to the choir, But Bill Simmons, who did the reading today, who writes and commentates for ESPN, gives our whole, actually, he wrote the quote, right? Once you choose a team, you're stuck with that team for the rest of your life. He wrote a whole list of rules for being a fan. These rules include behavior, apparel, how to be in a relationship with your spouse or your friends or maybe your siblings, who to root for. So this quote for today, once you choose a team, you're stuck, is all the way down to number 19 on his list. And I'm sure, even if you think that sports is a waste of time and a travesty of riches, still, you might be thinking right now of exceptions to the rule, right? Of once you choose a team, you're stuck. Like, no, I don't think that. I know you're probably thinking that. Well, even though he put that rule in there, he has six different exceptions to that rule. I'm not going to go on to unpack them. Oh, well, one of them is that if you have an immediate family member who plays for another team, you know, if my brother plays for the, I don't know who to say right now, another team. Whoever they may be. Okay, when I first came to Hayward, I wasn't an Oakland Athletics fan. I moved here after living almost 20 years in Colorado, where the citizenry, including me, did all that they could to help bring Major League Baseball to the state. We showed up at the big sports arena for AAA baseball. In fact, those were the Bears. We had the Colorado Bears was our AAA baseball team, and we filled the stadium to show them we can support a major league team. So I liked the activism of making something happen. We did it. We were successful and got a team. Back when I was a girl, I would root for the Tigers. So to me, it took me a long time to say AAs because it just made more sense to have the thing divided into two syllables. Root for the Tigers. It just sounds right in my brain. I would attend games with my dad and my sister and the dad of our close family friends who had three daughters. So the two-daughter family and the three-daughter family would go to the baseball games together. So it felt like a formative time. I can remember what we ate. I can remember what we drank. You know, we got Lafayette Coney Island, and we had orange soda with a straw sticking out. I remember that because we didn't have soda at home. It was very cool. Oh, pop. So I struggle with that rule. I struggle with that rule of one chosen team. Seems like the deep thought of the day. When the Tigers come to town, I have broken that rule, and so I sit with angst in my soul. But unlike life 50 years ago, when people stayed with the faith that they were born into, if you were born United Methodist, you were United Methodist. And the majority of Americans were brought up in families that had some sort of religious upbringing with a regular Saturday or Sunday practice. Depending on what faith tradition you came from, you would attend some kind of services. Well, these days, it's not uncommon to not be connected to some sort of religious community. It's not uncommon to not live in the same town in which you grew up. Witness the number of Boston fans at the Coliseum on days when the Boston Red Sox are playing in town. But then that proves the rule, doesn't it? Root for their once upon a time home team. We need ways to find communal unity. Consider the power of the Red Sox championship this past October after that city struggled to heal after the bombing at their marathon. The struggle of religion and sports vying for loyalty is nothing new. Even before the Civil War, clergy and devoted laypeople wagged their fingers as to the gateways to moral dissipation. The Washington Post article lifts up 17th century Puritan, English Puritan Thomas Hall, suggesting gaming. That was part of the fear that the gaming was among the surest means to debauch a people and draw them from God and his worship to superstition and idolatry. In 1851, Christian magazine professed, "We came into this world not for sport, but for a higher and nobler object." As we moved closer to the 20th century, the country shifted when a new breed of ministers extolled the virtues of sports as a training ground for a godly life. Remember the days when the Y used to be called the YMCA? We didn't just call it the Y. It was the YMCA. Sports are the winners when you consider what we consider success for religious institutions, even progressive ones like our own, that sports offer regularly immersing people in a transcendent experience and keeping them ardently committed over the long term. They fill a psychological and cultural vacuum. Remember, I don't know if you remember, not if you're not a basketball fan, but maybe if you were or even watched the news, these bright yellow T-shirts that said, "We believe," across the front of them, that filled the basketball arena in Oakland. Everybody in the whole arena was wearing a yellow shirt that said, "We believe." Religious language, right? But wait, Ruth and Heidi, we've got our own bright yellow T-shirts now, right, Heidi?
That's right.
Who doesn't have one? Who doesn't have a yellow T-shirt? Oh, see Heidi after the service. She'll be standing in Fellowship Hall, staffing the table with the bright yellow T-shirts. Commercial, sorry. Okay, back to the sermon. I love sports. Baseball, I cry over it. Basketball, I swoon when Steph Curry drains a three-pointer. Football, I'm in despair about the discoveries and the crisis of the head injuries, angry about the lack of responsibility of the powerful league officials and ownership to not acknowledge the clear and evident dangers that players face. I become frustrated over the absurd sums that players make, until I look at how much is being made by the industry itself and how the players are simply temporary pawns. But you know that today I'm here to say, today I'm here to stand up for, to cheer, to celebrate, to root for, to despair over, to struggle with religion. Namely, my chosen faith, our liberal religion. Actually, the team that I chose as a young girl, the one I've stuck with my whole life, Unitarian Universalism. I know I'm in the minority here. Most of you have changed teams, so to speak, religiously, have come to this tradition, this movement, this faith later on, maybe through discovery, or through challenge, or through a clarity of vision. Good for you. Let's go, Star King. Or let's go, Star King. Wait, just wait, okay. It's really bad. I don't know, maybe it's good. We should do that on a day where the sermon feels kind of like, ugh. We could just say, let's go Star King, like that. Right? It could be helpful on a bad day. Andy, you've got front row people, turn around and do that again. Ready? Did you know that people don't like the wave? They don't. They don't like it. No. People don't like the wave.
That's not true.
Okay.
It is true.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying. Back to the sermon. I agree with more conservative religionists. I agree with those conservative folks of the 19th century that say we need a higher and nobler object. It's great to have our sports teams, to feel the thrill of baseball's never-ending possibility, the metaphors, the cliches, the rituals, the superstitions, the great quotes, like this one from baseball player and manager Leo Durocher. Baseball is like church. Many attend, few understand. But really, what is the higher and nobler object? Quite simply, it might be what we name in many ways as God, or in the beloved community that strives together, not just as devoted fans, but participants in the work and creation of something larger. What do we have in this liberal religion that compels us? Why do we want to have something besides our favorite team to cheer for, to lift up, to inspire us to a greater good? Well, the city where I'll be going to do my next ministry doesn't have a baseball team, not even a minor league affiliate. The college doesn't even have a team. My announcement is that when I leave here, I will be the new minister in Durango, Colorado, where baseball is not big. Not at all. My husband will be coming with me and will also continue to finish his work here in the Bay Area in order to receive his pension. So he'll be kind of back and forth. But I will have to cheer on my sports team from afar. Maybe that brings added devotion to local opportunities where I'll be serving, opportunities for religion, for a spiritual home where people can contribute, can be of service, and still have a transcendent experience, have hope and love. I think there is room for both. Star King Church is growing in devotion, growing in numbers. Got some people that will be signing the book today. Growing in excitement of possibility for what comes next here. My colleagues, when we gather at General Assembly, make it a practice, all the ministers, they make a practice to attend a ball game together. And for them, you know, they do this every city we go to. It doesn't matter at all what team it is. It doesn't matter what level of play. But we like to cheer together. I will also say that our closest neighbor, Unitarian Universalist neighbor, the Fremont congregation at Mission Peak, they have a regular practice of buying a group of seats together for the A's game, and they attend together as a congregation for their chance to cheer and fellowship together. Maybe we could wear our yellow shirts. We have a special opportunity here, not just for a team, unless you consider that team something higher and more noble. An opportunity for discovery of the greater good, to keep on looking for revelation that is ever unfolding. looking for places to bring out our best, to add to the whole, to find salvation here on earth. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.